everybody. My name is Richard Jackson.
And I'm John Jerk.
And this is the Richard and John Show, Episode 3. Looks like we've got some interesting things to talk about today.
Return of the Sith.
Yes. 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 As it happens...
Yes.
As it happens, the deal with the Turk has actually worked out. We do have a deal with the Turk. He will be paying for some of our costs on the show in exchange for some advertising. So you may notice some advertising from the Turk in tonight's episode and future episodes as well.
Yeah, I think tonight we have one.
Yeah, that's
right. We got one commercial tonight.
One commercial. It should be really interesting. I'm anxious to see how that turns out.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. I hope it's a good one. Yeah. I hope it's a good commercial.
I think we all do. That's really the dream. That's the American dream is what that is. It's the American dream to have... to hear a good commercial.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I'd like to introduce Ding Duang Guang.
Right.
He's you may know him from the YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. So if you've ever been online and you've gone to this website called YouTube, the thing is the website has a lot of videos called YouTubes.
Oh, I see.
So on YouTube there are, I don't know, millions of YouTubes that people have recorded. And okay. If you've ever been to YouTube and you've searched in the search bar North Korea, you've most likely gotten a result list that had some short narratives about Korea and its leader, Kim Jong-il. Now, the narrator of those narratives is in the studio with us today.
That's right.
And his name is Ding Duang Guang. He is unpopular here.
Right.
But in North Korea, he's a legend.
That's right.
And he is here with us today in the studio.
So, Ding Duang Guang, welcome to the show.
It is a pleasure to be here from North Korea.
Wow, it turns out, from what I understand, you're a big supporter of Kim Jong-il.
That's right. Kim Jong-il is the greatest leader ever in North Korea and in the history of the world.
The history of the world, that's a pretty big claim.
That's a pretty big claim.
It is.
Yeah, so what exactly, in your opinion, Ding Duang, makes Kim Jong-il the greatest leader? Because there are a lot of popular figures in history.
Yeah, a lot of American, figures, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington.
Wait a minute! Yes. Kim Jong-il is the greatest leader!
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, you're talking about the world.
Yeah, in the history of the world.
In the history of the world. I mean, that's a very broad scope to make that kind of claim in. I think that maybe he's not the greatest. Maybe there are other men, but maybe I don't know much about the guy.
He may be the best in North Korean history, for all I know. I don't know.
Right, that might be true. Maybe he's the best in North Korean history. I don't know, maybe one day he can... be the best leader the world has ever known. I don't know. I don't know the guy. Time will tell. So now you're here in the studio with us. You came to the show because apparently you're a big fan of this show, which is surprising to me.
From what I understand, this show is actually very big over in North Korea. From what Ding Duang has told me, apparently it's one of the number one radio shows in the entire country.
Huh.
It's pretty amazing.
That is correct. In North Korea, we have 5 top shows. The top show in North Korea right now is the News Hour starring Kim Jong-il. But at number 4, we have the Richard and John Show.
Pretty amazing.
That's
very happy to hear that.
That's great.
I'm actually a little surprised that Kim Jong-il has the time to do a news program, what with leading the country.
The News Hour talks about all of the accomplishments of Kim Jong-il, the fearless leader. Writing all the school books for North Korean school boys and school girls.
So Kim Jong-il wrote all the school books?
He wrote all the text in every book.
That would be pretty time-consuming.
For school. That seems a little implausible.
It is actually very true. Kim Jong-il is a very prolific writer. He writes many books for school and many other subjects.
What other subjects might that be?
He writes about history. Kim Jong-il writes about news. Kim Jong-il writes about science. Kim Jong-il writes about creation.
Not creation. Huh. What is? If I mean, I didn't know he was a scientist. I mean, what would he know about science and creation?
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, you'd think that he would stick to, I don't know, public policy or something like
politics,
that.
Politics, you would think of a world country leader, you know.
I've never known of a president, or I guess in his case, I don't know, what is he?
I'm not exactly sure, but dictator, perhaps?
Kipchak L is not a dictator. He is the fairest, greatest leader of North Korea. The North Korean people have pledged their support of Kim Jong-il in arms.
In what?
In arms.
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite understand that last part.
In arms.
I still have no idea what you're saying.
In arms.
Well, we don't have time to just go over this over and over again. We're going to have to just move on. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's interesting to hear. I'm not sure about the validity of all of what you've said. It's interesting to hear a North Korean perspective about things.
Right.
Hey, Ding Duang, what do you think of our president over here?
Mr. George Bush W. is very inferior to Kim Jong-il. The greatest leader in the world is Kim Jong-il. He writes many school books for young school children.
Right, I think we've gone over that, about the writing. So you're not really keeping up with the politics and the occurrences of world events regarding America?
The North Korean people think that it would be best if Mr. Bush sticks to his own business and does not interfere with North Korean affairs.
I'm just curious as to what you might think about some of the big issues in America today, like Iraq, for example.
The North Korean people and myself think that the war in Iraq is inferior to Kim Jong-il.
Well, I don't know how you could compare a war to
right, I mean, that's a war.
Kim Jong-il. A lot of people aren't really fans of the war in the first place.
Maybe we shouldn't ask you any more questions. But all that aside, anyhow, it's great to have you here in the studio with us. We never get guests like you.
No,
so,
we never get guests, period, really. It's quite an honor.
That's true. This is our first real guest.
Yeah.
So thank you for being here.
We hope you stick around, because we've got some callers that might have some questions for you.
I am delighted to be here in the United States of America.
All right, great. Well, this is a call-in show, so we will go to our lines to see what our listeners have on their minds. Hello, caller. What do you have to talk about today?
I'm an old man. Remember me?
Yeah.
Hey, you're that old man that has info on murder, don't you?
What? I'm calling to talk about my drug business. I'm cooking lots of drugs in my basement and selling them to the people on the street.
That's illegal.
Yeah, you're telling us you're doing something illegal right now.
Yeah,
on the radio.
You know, Mr. Old Man, we haven't really heard a lot about you. We'd really like to know what your name is, where you live, your phone number, your social security number.
Can we track this call? Can we track his number?
Jeremy,
for once?
Yeah, this is pretty big.
I'm using a public telephone using one of my Indian headquarters. One of my many coins I have in my collection.
Yeah, we've heard about your coin collection before, sir. We'd like to hear more about yourself, where you live, where you work, what you do in your spare time.
Are we recording this?
We need to know all of the specifics that if, for example, and I'm not saying anyone would do this, someone wanted to find you, for whatever reason, they might be able to locate you.
Maybe like a home address.
Yeah, that would be
phone
very
number.
Helpful
maybe
there.
One of those things. Just asking.
Yeah, we're not prying or anything.
I'm a vagrant. I'm on the run all the time looking for food in garbage cans. I don't have a lot of money except my coin collection.
I find it hard to believe that you're capable of running. You sound very, I don't know, you
decrepit.
Sound...
Decrepit is
decrepit,
a word.
Decrepit,
that's a word.
Feeble,
yeah.
Weak.
Yeah, it's Really? What city are you in, sir? What city in just give
district,
us that.
District, yes, state, even.
Something, some information.
I'm in the ocean, swimming around with the fishes. I'm actually a famous scientist who does big studies on the fishes in the water. I've discovered many things, like ways to make poison with the fishes, and ways to serve fish brains to other people in restaurants without them knowing.
Wow, that's really, a lot of people don't want to eat fish brains. That's kind of a...
It's pretty gross. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't know, part of me feels like maybe the things this guy is saying, and no offense, are lies. I mean, maybe this guy's living in a world of his own. I mean, maybe he really isn't doing anything illegal. I mean, he says a lot of weird things.
It's certainly possible. I just would like to stay on the safe side, if that is possible. This old man doesn't sound very cooperative.
That's true.
So,
I mean, I feel like anything that we say right now, openly, I mean, he's on the line. Anything we say, he's completely oblivious to.
Yeah, he's not even listening.
We can say what we want.
Yeah, he's probably deaf. I don't even know why he calls us. I mean, he's calling in and he's just rambling on, but I don't think he understands a word we're saying.
That's probably a good thing.
Do you remember back in 1920 when George Hoover was president and he was on top of the diving board in the swimming pool? He was looking around at the observers and seeing how great this dive would be. He jumped off and landed into a pool of coins. That's where I started my love of coins. I want to talk about coins. Let's talk about coins.
Do we have a read on his number or anything? It is a payphone. It's a payphone. Okay, that's no good.
But if you can get the location of the payphone, I think he's probably got him on the line enough to get that number. Okay. I think he probably got it. Old man, it's been great chatting with you, but we don't want to hear you anymore.
Yeah, okay.
That was a very strange color.
All right. Well, let's move on. We've been doing a new segment. We debuted a segment last episode.
Right, last time.
By the letters.
Yeah, so last time, it goes in alphabetical order. Last time we started with A.
That's
and,
right.
And the topics were ashtrays and astroturf.
Right.
And we explained briefly the history of those two things. So this week, obviously, it's the letter B.
Right, absolutely. We've got two very interesting subjects that start with the letter B that we will be talking about. Maybe even more.
Right.
Well, we'll see as we go along. Let's start with something that everyone wants to hear more about. Something that people are, they don't know a lot about them. They're kind of mysterious.
And you know, when you think about it, you're like, boring.
Well, some people think that. Some people are fascinated. I know a lot of people who are big barn heads, is what they call them.
Sure. And of course, we're talking about barns.
Absolutely, yes.
Yes, a barn.
There's a lot to be said about barns. A whole lot.
Sure. And I guess I'll start. We got... A lot of people don't know where the barn came from,
right.
All right? And when you look at a barn, you think, okay, there are four sides of that barn and a roof.
Right.
Things are housed in it. It's nowhere near where I live.
Right.
You know, it's out in the middle of nowhere. It's some facility for farmers to store things in, and that's that. Well, there's a lot more to the barn. I mean, that's not it, all right? I mean, a lot of people don't know, and this is fact, barns were created at the Earth's core. And they were created by molten lava men.
Lava men.
And one of those lava men you might be familiar with is actually the founder of this country.
George Washington.
That's exactly right. George Washington.
George Washington was a lava man.
Probably one of the most noblest presidents we ever had. The guy who said, I don't want it. Give it to someone else. So I'm talking about the presidency.
Sure. Yeah.
He said, that man's veins were full of lava.
That's amazing. I did not know that, and a lot of people probably don't know that. You don't hear about that in history books.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
It makes you wonder why. You think it's being suppressed by the government?
Well, I don't think a lot of people know about lava men in general.
Yeah, that's true.
That's because a lot of people haven't been to the core of the Earth.
More people should go to the core of the Earth. It's probably a lot to see and do there.
They should
go. I heard there's an amusement park at the core of the Earth.
Yeah, it's inside the core.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's inside of the molten core.
I bet there's a lot of fun to be had inside that molten core.
There is. I bet, and I guess if you think about it, that park is probably gone.
Well, if it's in the molten core, I can't think of any way. Would diamonds melt? Like if the amusement park was
diamonds? Diamonds never melt.
So if the amusement park was made of diamonds, theoretically it would not have melted.
Right, but yeah, that's assuming it was made of diamonds. Right. If we rebuild an amusement park made of diamonds, we can be certain that it will not melt.
You know what?
It'll stand the test of time.
I bet you anything that would be a tremendously good investment. We just buy the diamonds, whatever their going rate is these days. It probably would be pretty expensive, but think of the money you'd make back from all the lava men who are, you know, want to go on the seesaw or the zebra rides.
Because think about it. Outside of the core, there's packed dirt, rock, other materials until you get to the surface. You can't do anything there.
It's true.
All the fun is at the center is at the center of the core.
That's right, that's true.
And if you're going to have fun, why not have it in a diamond amusement park?
Absolutely.
Made especially for you.
Yeah, it's a tremendous idea. You know, we should probably... If I had any money, I would totally invest in that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think my granddad actually did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we're not the first people to think of a diamond amusement park at the core of the Earth?
We're not the first people. My grandfather was.
Really?
Yeah. He was assassinated.
Why was he assassinated?
Something about stealing diamonds or something like that.
I don't know what that's about. That's.
I mean, it wasn't... He was killed.
Yeah.
I think it was... I'm not sure who it was by. He took a lot of diamonds from a lot of people. He took diamonds from the less fortunate.
Yeah. Well, back to Barnes. There's a lot. There's something else about Barnes that I wanted to say. You know, since George Washington created these Barnes, you know, he had a lot of knowledge. He had a lot of insight into lots of different things, and he had a lot of knowledge that most people probably didn't know back then. He was actually really heavy into genetic engineering. A lot of people don't know that about George Washington, but yeah, when he was inventing Barnes, he decided to try out some of that genetic engineering in the Barnes.
Yeah, take that, Edison. How's that? You weren't the first one. Yet he gets all the credit.
But, these barns, not all of them. A lot of them have been replicated since then. But the very first barn was alive. I'll just say it. Come right out and say it. And then, of course...
And that's not easy to say.
No, it's not.
I mean, that's not generally accepted these days. You can't say that barn's alive.
But... And I'm not saying a lot of barns are around today, but that barn obviously has descendants. It had children.
Yeah, we can tell you for a fact that that barn was living.
There's no way anyone could prove that
wrong. It had feelings.
It did.
It could walk. It could talk. And if you pricked it, well, just... this kind of like weird sappy, this kind of goo stuff that came out of it, and it let out this really weird hoarse scream.
Yeah, and another thing about that is, there are actual letters by George Washington that document some of this. It turns out that when he was elected president, he didn't have a lot of time to spend with his barn, and this barn was really upset about that. It had developed a good bond with George Washington over these years, and the barn was upset, and it went on a killing spree. It killed a number of people, but no one ever found the killer. No one ever did. No one knew who killed anyone. And, you know, these are in public record, these letters, and you'd think that someone would, you know, take a look at these things. And there's a lot of information in public domain that people just don't bother to read.
Yeah, and it makes you think, how many former presidents have neglected their barns?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you got to consider, in those barns, I mean, presidents keep their
souls. Yeah.
You know, old videotapes and movies they like, cassette tapes, CDs, stuff like that. But I guess most importantly, their souls.
You don't want to downplay the VHS tapes. Souls are one thing, and they're important and everything, but VHS tapes are in a lot of ways equally important.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to downplay souls here. I mean, obviously they're important, but I'm just saying that people should realize that VHS tapes are important as well. And, you know, sure. Back to the public domain business, a lot of people don't know this. Jesus was a robot. I'm just going to say that. I don't have a lot to say beyond that. But if you look it up, you'll find it. And then, you know, I'm just saying, everybody just look up stuff. There's stuff like that all over the place. People just don't know, you know?
Yeah, a lot of true stuff like that that just doesn't get presented to the public in a way that convinces them of its validity.
Absolutely.
Wow, that is very interesting.
And, you know, I just wanted to jump ahead. We were talking about Barnes, and this is History by the Letters, and last week we did too, or last episode we did too, and there's another subject that I want to talk about, and that's Boston.
The city of...
Yeah.
Boston.
Right, the city of Boston.
Now, Boston is most commonly known, and when people think of Boston...
Say it together.
Bells.
Arag bears.
Absolutely.
For its bells.
That's absolutely right.
There are a number of bells in Boston.
Yeah.
I think statistics show that there are anywhere from between 1 and 100,000 bells.
Somewhere in
Boston,
range.
Somewhere in that region. And if you ever want a bell, or if you ever wanted a bell, or if right now you just wish you had a bell, you should go to Boston.
That's right.
You should pack up the family and road trip to Boston.
I mean, if you go to a Walmart in Boston, you will be surprised to find that they sell nothing but bells.
And that is
bells.
A fact.
That's every single establishment, every grocery store, nothing but bells. If you want to get food, you have to leave the city.
Boston's chief export is bells.
Yeah. That's right.
Chief import, everything else.
But there are actually some policies going on where they're not allowing anything beyond bells in the city, like
right,
food.
Which is questionable.
That could cause some grief for some people living in Boston.
Yeah, but you gotta give them, you know, you gotta give them. I need to say kudos to them.
Yeah,
because that's their heritage.
It's a brave decision.
It's tradition.
Absolutely.
Mm-mm.
A lot to be said for that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what if the United States didn't let any person from another nation in? The only thing we let in was baseball.
Yeah, that's
baseball bats, baseballs,
mitts.
Mitts.
Yeah.
Diamonds. Baseball diamonds.
Shoes.
Cleats. Yeah.
Shoes.
The cleats.
Yeah.
Uniforms.
Shoelaces for those shoes.
And the shoelaces for those shoes.
But baseball caps. Baseball caps.
Baseball caps. Now, those are worn on your head, I think.
I think so.
From what I've heard about baseball, it is a sport played between man and animal.
Yeah, that's true. I've heard there's actually several human teams, and then there's, of course, teams for each animal. There's a big... One of the best teams that I've heard of is the Badger team. The Badger team is very, very athletic and skilled, and I think they've won several of the Super Bowls.
Yeah. Bells are great, though.
That's right. Yes.
Bells are fantastic.
There's nothing in the world better.
The North Korean people enjoy bells very much.
Because when a bell rings, you know, it's like, hey, it's dinner time.
Yeah.
It's dinner time, and then sometimes a bell will ring, and it is, hey, breakfast time.
That's true.
It could be either of those things. Then there's an element of mystery.
Yes.
Because when a bell rings, it could be anything. It could be dinner, or it could be breakfast. It could be anything between point A and point B. And points A and B are dinner and breakfast. And between those two points, anything can happen.
So, what do you say we take another call?
I'm good with that.
So, caller, what do you have on your mind?
Hey, fellas, my name is Jim.
Jim, hi.
Hi, I'm from Connecticut? Connecticut?
Oh, is that a joke?
Could be.
Pretty funny.
Anyway... I am a former astronaut. I have been on the moon.
Kim Jong-il has been on the moon.
I've done many things in my life, and I listen to your show on a regular basis.
I'm glad to hear that.
I can tell you about being on the moon. I can tell you about the many times that I have fought wild animals to try to save my life. I can tell you about the times I scaled tall buildings using nothing but two forks in my hand. I have these incredible suction shoes that I invented myself. I made them out of Ziploc bags, toothpicks. I made them out of aluminum foil. And I made these suction shoes out of all of that.
I have to say that I don't believe a word of what you just said. It's interesting, but I can't help but think that perhaps that's not true.
Well, hold on just a moment. I mean, you don't know who I am. You haven't given me a chance to explain. I had a question anyways. This is a talk show. I was going to call in and ask you a question.
I'm sorry. Feel free to ask the question.
Okay, thank you. My question is that a long time ago I walked on the moon.
The North Korean paper once lived on the moon.
Okay, this happened. I was an astronaut. I sailed to the moon in my old fishing boat. It was called the SS Boatsen Boat. That's right, it was a Boatsen Boat. It was a Boatsen Boating Boat. And it was meant to catch fish, and I remember catching those fish. And so my question is that I have walked on the moon. And I did it by being an astronaut. So that makes me feel, that makes me think that I know a thing or two about being on a boat.
I have 5 boats.
I'm sorry, I don't see the connection between boats and astronauts. Do astronauts tend to come from a boating background? I thought that they were often in the, you know, not boating.
Yeah, I've never heard of an astronaut using boating as one of his credentials.
Yeah, do they use boats to get to the moon?
Right.
Is it like boats with rocket boosters?
Right. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's just shuttles, right? It's
space shuttles, absolutely. Sometimes there was, you know, rockets that went to the moon, but that was... I mean, the point is, this guy is obviously full of shit.
Sure.
There is not a word of this that is true.
You're full of shit. Exactly what Richard said.
You can think that. You can think that I am full of shit. You can think that I never did walk on the moon. You can think that my one goal in life is to be full of shit, you know? You can do that. Or you can not be so... You can listen to me for one. You can say, hey, you know, I'm going to listen to this guy. He's walked on the moon.
I have been on the moon with Kim Jong-il.
You know, he's a great boatsman. He's great at fishing. He knows a lot of things. He's obviously experienced many, many things in his life. He's very knowledgeable. And, you know, the two of you can fuck yourselves. That's what I think. I think you can take the show and screw yourselves. I mean, I'm CIA. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, I took a boat to San Diego. I turned that boat right around. I built that city out of boats. And now I've made a life for myself, my family, and we're living happily inside of a boat. In fact, my son is, in fact, a boat. He is working right now for a boat company. You know, we love it. We think it's great. He's successful. And so you're going to tell my son that he's not successful? You're going to tell him that his father didn't walk on the moon? I spent many years convincing him that I walked on the moon. And if you ruin this for me, I swear to God, I will kill the two of you. I will find you and I'll massacre you.
Oh my gosh.
How's that?
That's really rather upsetting.
Whoa, alright.
I've been upset by what you've just said.
Yeah.
I have some fishing experience in the sewer. From what you've said, I don't know, this is sketchy. I'm not sure I want to keep talking to this guy if he's going to threaten our lives.
So let's cut him off.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. I will say, on the topic of fishing, that when I was in the sewer, which is right now, I am still in the sewer, I have caught a number of things. I've caught boots, which you do, well, the sewer is obviously running, you know, I'm on the side of the sewer, on the concrete, got a fishing pole, and I'm catching whatever comes by, be it like a half-eaten slice of pizza in the sludge. I take it out.
And for you, that's fantastic.
That's a meal. That's
big-time stuff for you.
Absolutely. Or, yeah, sometimes it's a boot, you know. I never know which. And that's a lot of times that's how I get my meals or shelter, or, you know. Sometimes I need weapons. Sometimes people will flush down toothpicks, and I'll have to put those toothpicks together to form a giant hammer. And I'll use that hammer to fend off people who are trying to steal my sheet. A lot of people, my sheet is envied by many. And yeah. For someone to have not only a bathtub, but a sheet, you know, I mean, that's pretty good stuff.
Down in the sewer, that's like being on top.
It's paradise. It's paradise.
That's funny. I've never experienced anything like that before in my life.
Yeah, I know.
Why don't you stop doing that?
Because I don't have enough money.
Yeah, why don't you get some?
Because I don't have a job. My job is this, and this is not a good paying job. At least not yet, but here's hoping the Turk's going to change that or turn that around.
I think we all are hoping that the Turk will turn this show around.
Well, I'm not saying it's a bad show. I just want some money to not live in the sewer.
Okay, I thought you were saying something else. What you could do, and this is just coming from someone who has never had to work. Let's say this. Let me establish this. I don't know exactly how I get my money, but I have a lot of it. It just comes to me. I know I inherited it from somebody, and it comes in my bank account, and I just spend it, and I don't know how that happens. I don't understand banks, and I don't understand money and numbers and how much money is how much. I just know when a lot is a lot, and I know that when none is none. So why don't you try to find the person who makes money, and then try to tell that person that you don't have any, and that you would like them to maybe make you some money. And then when they do that, you can, I don't know, you can spend the money or put it in a, I don't know, like a, what is that, like a bank account or something?
That's an interesting take on things. I can't say that I've ever used a bank account. Well, let me just say this. I don't know a lot about...
I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Yeah, let me just say this. I'm pretty sure you can't just ask somebody to make you more money.
Really?
I don't know a lot about financial transactions, except that from what I understand, there's like a council of robots that control the distribution of money. And this is what I've heard in the sewer from rumors. And basically, this council is elected by wealthy people. You might know about this. But this council is elected by wealthy people. And they use kind of like laser hands. These laser hands shoot together. And when the lasers all connect in the middle, the lasers form money. And then this money is distributed via a money launcher, which is basically a rocket that shoots off into the atmosphere, detonates, and money spreads around in the atmosphere and kind of falls down wherever it falls.
It's kind of like the stork.
In a sense, yes.
Bringing everyone money.
Yeah, and it turns out that I guess I've never been in the right place at the right time to get the money. So I just kind of had bad luck in that regard. But, you know, maybe luck will change around. Maybe we'll actually get money from someone directly in the Turk.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, I hope... the Turk has lots of money.
I think he does, from what I understand.
Excuse me. I have a song to play. I have my very own guitar here with me. And I think it would be a great pleasure for me to play my song here on USA American Radio.
Wow, I didn't know you were a musician.
Yeah, you don't seem like the musical type.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising, but that sounds fascinating. I'd love to hear some.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know if it's any good, but it'd be interesting to hear some North Korean-style music. We've never had a musical guest, and it'd be, you know, interesting.
The song is in English.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I mean, I don't want to offend you, but you don't seem like you're very good at speaking English.
I would not have guessed English as your first language.
English is my first language.
So Korean is second, I guess?
My inspirations for this song are Philip Glass and Kris Kristofferson.
Kind of an interesting combination.
Yeah. Philip Glass.
Yeah, that's just kind of...
How the hell did you hear about Philip Glass in North Korea?
Philip Glass is very popular in North Korea. In fact, Kim Jong-il has invited Philip Glass many times to play at the concert meeting.
Has he accepted?
He has never accepted a single invitation. And that makes the great dear reader Kim Jong-il very furious.
All right. Well, I see you got your guitar, so you're all propped up. You're ready.
Let's, what you got?
Let's hear it.
The North Korean people think that Kim Jong-il is the best reader ever in the world. The North Korean people think that Kim Jong-il is the most fairest reader in the world. I said, the North Korean people think that Kim Jong-il is the most best reader who ever loved the paper. I said the North Korean paper think that Kim Jong-il is the best reader of North Korea, and so does the North Korean military. I said the North Korean paper, I think that Kim Jong-il, I said the North Korean paper think that Kim Jong-il is the, I said the North Korean paper think that Kim Jong-il is the essay that North Korean people think that Kim Jong-il is the greatest reader ever in the entire world. The North Korean cancer has pledged to support Kim Jong-il in aims. In aims. In aims. In aims.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. I'm impressed.
It's very good, actually. Yes. I like that a lot. I'm gonna be honest with you. When you first came on the show, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we know what North Korea is about. I mean, I dislike the place very much, but that song, Ding Dwang, struck a chord in my butt. And I think that, number one, you're very talented.
There's no question about that.
I think that's obvious. Yeah. Number two, I want to hear more.
Yeah, that's not enough. That's tremendous.
And number three, the song puts North Korea, its leader Kim Jong-il, and its policies in a very positive light.
It does. It makes you really rethink your preconceptions about the country. I mean,
right.
It makes you think, you know, maybe what you've been hearing all this time has not been entirely true. Maybe Kim Jong-il is the greatest reader in the world.
In the world, the greatest. And maybe, you know, I said that we know what North Korea is all about. That song makes me rethink my life.
Yes, North Korea.
Also, I want to say that it'd be great to have you back on the show.
Absolutely. And it would be an honor.
And if you have, because I don't know how many of these things you've written, but it would be great to have you perform them all here on this show.
Absolutely. You've heard from this. This is tremendous. I think that this is my honest opinion, I think that you would not have a problem getting a major record contract in the United States with one of the major records. I think that that would not be a huge problem. I think that they would be awestruck, as we are.
Right. I think once they hear you, they're going to do anything they can to keep you here in the States.
Yes, absolutely. And we would love to be right there alongside you as you make that climb up the ladder.
Thank you very much. The North Korean people are my inspiration, and I fear that one of the best subject matters to sing about in my songs is the North Korea and the North Korean people and the North Korean dear reader, Kim Jong-il. I find that it is very easy for me to write these songs when Kim Jong-il is in my heart. In fact, I feel that the great reader is an inspiration for many firms of art. And most North Korean artists feel that way as well.
Well, if the other artists in North Korea are anything like what we just heard, I would love to see, hear, get as much information as I can possibly get.
Yeah, it's a shame that we don't have access to those people because...
You know, it would be great if you were able to put us in contact with some of these fellow artists of yours in North Korea, because sure. Like, we would love to hear and see what they've got to show.
You know, a world of North Korean art. I think that's something that we've never seen.
No, that would be a tremendous exhibit. I think it would be great.
Yeah. Very well done.
Very well done, indeed.
Very well done.
Well, yeah, from that, I would like to introduce our newest segment.
This is going to be exciting. I mean, I'm really pumped about this.
This is going to be great. We have we've been thinking about this for a long time. Actually, this was pitched by Jeremy, our director, and the segment is called The Sound Effect of the Week. And basically, what it is Jeremy has come up. We don't know what this sound is, first of all. Jeremy comes up with a sound, and then he'll play it for us, and we'll react. And we have no idea. It's probably going to be pretty mind-blowing.
Right. The idea here is for us and our listeners to experience something very interesting, you know, a very interesting sound, something unique that we, you know, might never... This sound might be from halfway across the world. I mean, this could be from some other nation. I mean, we have no idea what it could be. All we know is that it's going to be interesting.
And it's going to be... One of the best things is we've never heard this, and neither of our listeners. And it's going to be really interesting for us to experience this together. For the first time, we'll be able to feel this sound. We'll be able to experience it all together.
Right. And it's probably best during this segment to just relax, you know, put down whatever you're doing.
If you're driving a car, pull off the road. Just take your hands off. If you are driving... And you hear this sound, you're probably just going to be put in a trance, you know? That's dangerous. Just pull off the road. If you're doing anything that could be dangerous, just stop right now, because this could blow your mind.
Right. I mean, if you're driving, just stop. Stop driving. You know, just take your hands off the wheel, close your eyes, and I want you to listen closely. Because the way to really experience this thing, the way to really get everything that this segment has to offer, is to close your eyes, relax,
meditate, just focus.
Focus on this sound, because when you hear it, you want that you want your mind to be filled with imagery. You want to really experience this thing for what it is. You want to see things when you hear this sound, because that's what it's all about. You
feel them, smell them. All of your senses will react to this sound. This is not just a sound. This is going to be something entirely different. It's going to change your outlook on life. It will. It's going to touch your heart, and it's going to change your outlook on life.
Right. That's what this segment is meant to do. It's probably one of the most exciting things we've done on this show in a long time.
Absolutely.
Very well.
So without further ado, let's just get right to it. Jeremy, why don't you just hit us with a sound? All right.
Let's go.
Let's go. Why don't we take a commercial break? We'll be right back.
Ben Türk ve ben Etkot Vazları satıyorum. Kim bir kapat burada ister? Eten iyi yemek. Yemek al. En iyi yemeği al. Türkçe en iyi dil $1 milyon değerindeyim. Bana senin paranı ver. Ben sık sık oluyorum. Zamanlar ülkelerinin atı benim huyumu çağırdı. Ben Türkiye'nin tamamındaki en büyük ve en etiketli kişiyim. Ben siz benim ürünlerimi satın alacaksın. Benim öğünlerim yumurta beyindinin, pasterizinden ve küp cipsinden oluşar. Kim beni tartışmak ister?
Okay, I think we have another caller on the line.
Yeah, it should be really interesting. Hello, caller. What do you have to talk about today?
Hello, my name is... I work at the... Hello?
Oh, great. This guy again.
Yes, I am a second-time caller. I work at the recreational center for little boys and girls and little bitty babies and animals and lizards. I have my own aquarium. And I know for a fact that your show is on our radio all the time here in New Jersey. And at the recreational center for little boys and babies and little bats, the thing is that when we are listening in our caves and in our homes, we are usually in the kitchen, and I am with a knife, I am chopping off my own fingers. And what I do is I make a nice salad, and I make the I have a video camera. And what I do sometimes with the video camera is I make salad with it. So I put in my lettuce, my tomatoes, I put in my onions, put in a little bit of feta cheese right on top there, and then I toss in the video camera, I cut it up, and I put it in the salad, and I serve it to all the little boys and babies and young girls and bats, and we just have the greatest time eating this salad and listening to your show. And one of the greatest pleasures I have in my life is finding these kids and taking them under my wing and showing them how to make salads for little boys and little bats with wings on their backs. You know, little vermin with the little teeth and the wings coming out of their backs. You know, they're making, they're singing Christmas carols. And I don't know where I am right now, to be honest. I don't know what... Who are you people? Where am I? Is it okay what I'm saying right now? Am I coming off kind of strange right now?
All right, so what we did right now is, like many times what we've had to do, is we ended that call.
Yes, that reminds me of Kim Jong-il. And the one
I think that person was clearly on some sort of hallucinogenic drug.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of shows would try to talk that person down, but that's not the kind of show we are. That's just not what we do.
Sure. If you're going to come to the table, if you're going to come to the table with nonsense, I'm going to say see you later.
Yeah, we just don't tolerate that.
And I hope to God that he doesn't actually work with children.
Right. This is a man that called last week, and he was talking about children and babies and all that business. And yeah, if he does work with children, that's just horrible. It's
sure.
a nightmare.
Because you don't need some guy who talks about cutting off his own fingers.
No.
Working with children at any sort of recreational YMCA, Y Center, or anything
that,
like that.
That guy is obviously a loose cannon, and I would not want him near any children, or else we would see a lot of dead children.
Right. Yeah, we're not gonna allow that kind of that kind of nonsense in this show.
No.
I have to say that it has been a great pleasure to be on your show, seeing as how it is very popular in North Korea. I just want to make it known that I have no place to live in the America right now, and that if you know of any place that I may find housing, that would be of a great benefit to me.
My bathtub is pretty small. It's, about 6 feet. I have to scrunch.
Hey, you know what? You know what?
What?
I have plenty of space in my place. You know, I got many rooms. I mean, I just got cows living in them right now. I'm on a farm. I just have cows living in the room. What if, Ding Dwang, what if you bunked with me for a while until you find a place of your own?
Now wait a minute, I can't believe that you're saying this. I asked you before if I could live there. I'm living in a sewer. I'm living with excrement, human excrement.
Right.
I'm living with alligators. I'm living with disease. I'm living with fighting and murder. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. And you would let me stay for one night, and you would not let me stay
okay,
for any longer. You said the cows were too important.
Let's say this. We've known each other for a while.
Yes.
You're my friend.
Yeah.
I got more respect for you than that.
I'm sorry, I don't see how that translates.
I got more respect for you than that.
You got more respect for me than to let me live in poverty in the sewer? Well, then why don't you let me live in your house for Christ's sake? I just need a place to stay for a little while until I get on my feet.
It's like the lyric in that Sonny James and the Coco Guys song, all right? And the lyric goes, I got more respect for you than that, baby. I'd never let you down. I got more respect for you than that, baby. What's going down? All right. That lyric may not mean much.
It doesn't. Clearly does not.
It means a lot.
I'm upset.
It means a lot to me.
Well, I don't care what it means to you.
I like that band.
Well, that's great. That's tremendous. But I'm living in a goddamn sewer.
Okay. And, you know, if God damned it, then maybe one day he will undam it, and maybe things will start looking up for you. But I know how much pride you have, and I don't want you to lose that. Okay.
I have clearly, there's no question, lost all sense of pride. I'm living in a sewer with human feces.
But you've still got one thing. You know what that is? You've got these. And for the audience who can't see this because it's a radio show, I'm holding up my fists. You still got your mitts, okay? No one can tell you that you don't... let's say this. You can't tell yourself that you don't have pride when you still got lefty and righty.
How is that going to help me in my situation?
It's going to help you defend yourself, okay? Help you feed yourself.
You think I'm going to box my way out of an alligator attack? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Do alligators have fists?
They have hands, but they use their teeth. Their huge, gigantic, merciless teeth.
Okay, teeth. Teeth often get knocked out by what?
Are you trying to get
fists?
Me?
All I'm saying is that if you stood up for yourself once in life, and if you found it in yourself, if you found the courage in yourself to stand up to one of these alligators in this sewer that you live in, and just say, you know, I'm a man. I live in an upside down bathtub. I live underneath it. I eat shit. I eat turds. All right. Sometimes I eat boots and shoes. I have this sheet. You say these things enough in your mind, and you begin to believe them. You begin to believe that, hey, I'm somebody. I've got these fists, and I'm not gonna take it anymore. You ever see the film Network?
Yes. But how that? Okay. Wait. Let's stop everything. Right. That was complete and utter bullshit. I use my fists to defend myself against these horrible bums that are trying to steal my sheep. Yes, I use my fists to defend myself when I can. Yes, but that does not help me get food. It doesn't help me get out of the sewer. It doesn't help me get shelter. It doesn't help me against these alligators. I have tried boxing the alligators.
Why do you think that alligators are on top in the sewers? You know why?
Because they can kill a man with their bare jaws.
That's 1%. Of the reason why. If I were to put a percentage on that, that'd be 1 or 2%. The reason they have so much street cred, well, let's call it sewer cred, is because they have all the food. So what I'm saying, and I know this, all right? I've heard things, all right? And I've dreamed things. And I'm saying that if you stand up to those alligators and you box one out, you're gonna get that food.
I just feel the need to clarify here that the food you're referring to are the people in the sewer. The alligators live off of the bodies of my fellow humans in the sewer. So what you're telling me is I'm going to go over there, fight an alligator with my bare hands in order to gain access to the corpses of fellow human beings, in order to eat and become a cannibal. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
I've never met an alligator who couldn't make a good egg salad sandwich. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Have you ever met an alligator?
I've drawn a picture in which I and an alligator are eating ice cream.
Have you drawn a picture where you're holding hands and skipping down the street? Because that doesn't mean a damn thing to me in the sewer, okay?
Anyway, enough of that. Here's the deal, Ding Duang. So there are cows living in the 8 available rooms in my mansion right now. You need a room. The cow whose room I'd like you to stay in is not going to go without a fight. All right, I'll tell you that right now. The cow, he's Omri, he's angry, and he knows how to use a machete. All right, that's one thing I regret, okay? One thing I regret to this day is teaching those cows how to wield a machete. And I'm not just saying that they're good at, you know, kind of, you know, like holding it with their hands, you know, like, oh, look, you know, it's like a dog, you know, saying, hey, and putting its paw on your head. It's not a trick. It's not an illusion, all right? It knows how to use the machete. It knows how to kill a man with the machete. It knows how to swing it around above its head, all right? It knows all these things. And I taught them these things, okay? And I regret it to this day. But here's the deal.
Let me just jump in here.
Yeah.
Why would you ever teach a cow how to wield a machete?
So they can have some self-respect. So here's the deal. I know that you're a very capable man, Ding Duang, okay? I have confidence in you. I also have a machete for you, all right? So if you want that room, I got a machete, and I want you to use it on that cow, all right? Because he will most certainly use it on you. But if you win, you will have a room to stay in. How does that sound?
It would be an honor to murder one of your cows. In North Korea, it is not uncommon for a resident to have to kill a cow or a steed for housing.
It's kind of surprising. Okay, well...
Well, there you go.
Okay, it was an honor having you here, Ding Duang.
That's fantastic, yeah, it's great.
We're looking forward to hearing you next episode. Hopefully you'll bring some songs and perhaps some fellow artists with you. That's all the time we have for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Richard and John Show. See you next time.
See you guys.
John Show is brought to you by Devastation Studios at devastationstudios.com. The best thing ever.